from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
The sky is not falling, but it's close. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's with MLB.com StatCast. He is a very, very astute baseball mind. He's Mr. Mike Petriello. Hello, Mike. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're not doing well at all. I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm good, man. I don't have to play the games.
You come out with a bullpen game in game one of a doubleheader when you have 4 games in 3 days. The bullpen game didn't make him lose game one, even though you brought up a starter to fill the extra roster spot, then pitched him in the 8th inning. Mike, what the heck is going on?
Well, listen, I could give you the optimistic point of view or the realistic point of view.
And I want both.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the last 2 months, right? I still like that going back since June 26th. Cleveland has the 3rd worst record in the American League. Like, that's enough time where it's not a fluke, right? Oh. The optimistic side is they're going to make the playoffs, right?
Oh.
Like, are they going to win the division? I don't know. But, you know, it sure seems to me like the 6 American League playoff teams are basically decided, right? Like, you know, who in the Central, who's a wild card, I don't know. But there's not really a version of this that ends without Cleveland in the playoffs. And as we've seen a number of times over the last couple of years, you know, it's a best of 3, it's a best of 5. Like, anything can happen from there, especially when you have an elite bullpen, as this team clearly does.
I don't know. It feels like the ship is sinking a little bit around here. I'm not going to lie. I just, again, you're talking about Boston would have to go on a roll for them to get knocked out, right? They've got a 6-game lead, I think, on Boston on the wild card. So if that, it's really hard to look and go, well, you know, a month ago they had a 9-game lead in the Central, and now all of a sudden it's a 1-game lead, and everything that, you know, Stephen Vogt was touching was turning to gold in the beginning. Now I think he's finding out the reality that I'm sure he didn't take anything for granted, but life isn't as easy as it was in the beginning of the season.
No, and I think that's true. And if you think about some of the performances that fueled the first part of the season, I think it was pretty clear that not all of those were going to maintain, right? Like, I love Stephen Kwan, but he was basically hitting like Aaron Judge for the first 6 weeks. That probably wasn't going to last. David Fry is a great example, right? Kind of an older prospect who came up and shocked everybody for the first 6 weeks. And like, what's more of a fluke, right? The first 6 weeks or the last 3 months. They've done a great job, obviously, overcoming pitching injuries. Like, I never in my life thought I would sit here and talk to you guys about a Cleveland Guardians team in first place and say, man, I really don't like that starting rotation, right? Like, that's never the way this works. And for Stephen Vogt to work around that is really impressive. But, you know, there's no surprise here that there's some problems on the roster, right? I don't love the offense right now. I don't love the rotation. I really like the bullpen. It's a lot to kind of ask, you know, the core 5 or 6 guys they've had to continue being those guys through a late October run. Because if that doesn't happen, then I don't feel good about their chances.
Mike Petriello joining us, MLB.com StatCast. Lane Thomas, trade, you understand it. You needed an outfielder. He had a pretty good bat, pretty good couple of seasons, and he hasn't hit here. What do you do, Mike?
I mean, I don't think you can look at a guy who's been pretty successful over, 3 seasons, I guess, is with Washington, 3.5 seasons, excuse me, and give up on him, right? And say, well, you know, he's good for 3.5 years. He's had 80 or so lousy plate appearances. We don't think he can play baseball anymore. You know, I would not be the first guy to move to a new team in the middle of the season. You know, new league, new city, new teammates, all this. It doesn't mean you let him hit 137 for the rest of the season on a playoff run. And, you know, maybe you pick your spots a little more carefully. You put him in, you know, only very specific situations where you think he can succeed, especially since you've got some other guys stepping up like Noel. But I don't think you can give up on him because it hasn't gotten off to a good start. I can tell you this in New York, and I know these are very different players, but someone you guys are very familiar with, Francisco Lindor didn't get off to a very good start here, and it's taken him years to regain the trust of Mets fans. And obviously, Lane Thomas is not Lindor. I get that. But you gotta trust in the talent, and he's still a talented hitter.
When you look at this Guardians lineup, how can they tweak from within to try to get better? Like, again, it's hard to, you're looking in and you're like, oh, they're 18 games over 500. Is it really that bad? But obviously there's some things that, and maybe even just the way they play the game, if they did some of the things they did last year, like I just keep thinking about yesterday where if they would have played small ball in the first game, they would have had a chance to win instead of going for the big hit early on. What could change for the Guardians to kind of flip this thing around, or is it just a matter of paying your dues in a 162?
I don't know that there's a whole lot that Stephen Vogt can do to change things, right? Like, the biggest need right now is something I'm not sure he can do anything about, which is you really need Stephen Kwan to break out of this slump, right? Again, he's not going to be the guy you saw in the beginning of the season. Like, that's an MVP caliber season. That's unreasonable, but he definitely can be better than you've seen over the last 6 or 8 weeks. You really need him to be the guy that he's been for the first couple years of his major league career. You know, you need Lane Thomas, as we just said, to wake up a little bit. You can mix and match guys all you want, but at the end of the day, like, you're going to have the same players in the lineup and they're going to need to perform. You can do small ball all you want, right? But if you don't have guys who are getting the job done, the manager can't do that much about it. And, you know, I look at Vogt as a rookie manager this year, and it's like one of the longest and unknowable conversations in baseball is how much does a manager matter, right? And he's probably going to win manager of the year, like, well deserved. But it's funny because it's like he's replacing an all-time legend in Francona, who's very likely going to be a Hall of Famer, and the team was playing better for a couple months. And it's like, oh, well, is he better than Hall of Famer now? And over the last couple of months, they've been one of the weakest teams in the American League, and it's like, oh, is he overmatched? And the answer is probably none of those things. It's players on the field performed very well at first and less well now, and there's really only so many buttons you can press at this point in the season.
Mike Petriello is joining us. Mike's with MLB.com StatCast. You mentioned the rotation, and you'd be surprised, you know, earlier on if somebody had said Guardians are in first place and look at this rotation. If you look at the rotation now, you could say 1.5 starters who you thought you were starting the season with are in your rotation right now. Tanner Bibee and sometimes Gavin Williams. You know, Gavin has been up and down trying to find it coming off his injury. What can they do here? Ben Lively's been terrific. It looks like Matthew Boyd is back from Tommy John and throwing the ball really well. Can you keep your fingers crossed for Cobb? What would you do here?
Well, I think the way they are looking at it is in a very modern sort of way, whereas, you know, fans like to look at these things as a starting rotation and bullpen, you know, and I think the teams look at this as how do we get to our 27 outs, right? Whether it's a starter going 7 1/3 and then we turn it over, whether it's trying to cobble together, you know, pitchers who can go an inning or two. I understand that's not the most maybe entertaining way to watch baseball, and as you've mentioned, it doesn't always work. But they need to try to mix and match because at this point in the season, everybody is tired, no matter what they say. And when you're counting on guys like Alex Cobb and Matthew Boyd, who are talented, no doubt, and have had track records, but have mostly just been injured the last couple of years, I think that tells you where you are. You know, like, there is a version of this season when Shane Bieber gets hurt and Tristan McKenzie kind of never really makes it back, that everything collapses in May, right? You could easily see it just going straight downhill, and it's a credit to all the pitchers involved that didn't happen. One thing I really do like about Vogt is even though he's ridden these core relievers heavily in terms of games used, they do an incredible job of not going out there with like 35, 40, 40 pitch innings to get to those high stress levels. I think I saw the other day they are either tied or tied next to tied with Seattle or somebody for the fewest amount of relief appearances going 20 or more pitches. And in a world where nobody can seem to keep pitchers healthy, that seems to be kind of cool in the bullpen. If you can do that, you just, you know, need a lot of guys who can step up and take those other innings.
Why do you think the Guardians are so good at home? They're 17 games over 500 at home, and I think they're one over on the road, or one under, one of the. I just know that they're way better at home than they are on the road. Why is that?
You know, it's interesting you say that. I don't have a specific answer to Cleveland here, but I was noticing the other day that it does seem like there's been some real wild home road splits, because I can tell you the Red Sox fans are all freaking out. Their team is terrible at home this year. They're awful at Fenway. Go look up their stats, right?
Yeah.
In the American League Central, you've probably noticed that Bobby Witt Jr. and half the Royals are killing it in Kansas City.
Yeah, why are we pitching to him, too? You want to answer that one?
I am more than willing to say don't do that.
We're on the same page, Mike. I said it 1,000 times yesterday. Then he beat us.
Listen, I live in New York. I watch a lot of Aaron Judge, and teams still pitch to him. I don't get that either.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Doesn't make any sense.
None.
I don't know.
And the Guardians were one of those teams that pitched to him last week. And I'm like, what are we doing? Here you go. Because last time I checked, all you have to do is point at the guy and he can have first base all on his own. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that happen more as he starts getting up towards 60, you know, at least here. And as far as the Royals go, I mean, you know, they've got other good players in the lineup. Sal Perez is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Vinny Pasquino's great. But yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. is probably going to have something like the best ever season that doesn't end in an MVP or thereabouts, is what I'm guessing. Like, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, his average, he's got so many hits, it's ridiculous. Who's the biggest threat right now in the Central? Is it the Guardians? Is it the Royals? Is it the Twins? Who do you like in the division?
Twins. I say the Twins. I don't trust the Royals' bullpen at all. I think their bullpen is really weak. I think Seth Lugo had a great start, and it's starting to fall apart a little bit. I've been on the Twins bandwagon for most of the year. Not that they don't have the weaknesses, they do. I really like the length of the Twins lineup. This assumes Correa is going to come back, which I think he will. But you know, they've had guys like Trevor Larnach and Matt Wallner, Royce Lewis when he's healthy. The lineup's been really good, and the bullpen has been okay-ish. Like, none of these three teams, I don't think, have anywhere you can't point to and say, oh, I'm not concerned about that. But if I'm looking at which team has the fewest flaws, I think I'm looking at the Twins because I like the lineup. I think Pablo Lopez, even though his ERA is high, is a legitimate ace. He's been pitching great lately. And, you know, if you can just get Correa and Royce Lewis and Byron Buxton healthy at the same time, I know it's an enormous if, but it is possible. I think they can make some noise in October.
I think everybody liked them at the beginning of the year, and I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten about them, Mike. So I would agree with you on that. I think the Twins have a really nice team. What did you think when the Guardians drafted Travis Bezzana, #1 overall? Register with you at all? What did you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, it's funny. I tweeted this the other day. It is possible, if not extremely unlikely. They could bring him up and add him to the playoff roster. Like, he's eligible. Does not have to be on the team by September 1st. That's kind of a myth. There are loopholes around it. I think I really liked his entire story, just in the sense that he seems to be like the most modern mix of a player, using all the information and technology available to him to just make himself a better baseball player, right? Like, people get scared off by data and analytics, and I get all that. But at the end of the day, if you're a young guy and you're thinking, how do I improve myself? How do I make my career better? How do I make more money and help my team win? These are the tools available to me. And he really seems to be at the forefront of that. And if he has a successful career, which I think he will, he's going to be kind of an inspiration for guys like that. There's going to be a lot of younger players saying, well, look at this guy, Travis Bezzana. He's not the biggest. He's not the strongest. But he got picked at the top of the draft, and I want to do that. And I think that's really cool. I'm kind of rooting for him in that regard.
Emmanuel Clase, Cy Young odds?
No. No, just straight up, no. He's great. There's not a single negative thing I can say about Class A, right? Other than the fact that relievers don't win Cy Youngs, right? There are other guys who are going to pitch two or three times the innings that he will. It's not like there's no other good contenders in the American League right now. He'll get some down ballot votes for sure. He will appear on some ballots, maybe even get into the top five for some guys. But he is not going to win the Cy Young. I will give that a 0 point. I'll give that, how about this? The same odds of the White Sox winning the World Series this year.
Wow. Vegas is arguing with you, but I think Vegas likes the thought of throwing him up there and saying, hey, you know, maybe there's a closer that's got a shot at this. I'm kind of looking at some of the odds.
It's Scooble. Scooble all the way.
Yeah.
Oh, we really enjoyed our conversation with you until the end. Thanks,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, it was great.
Mike, appreciate your time. Thank you,
Mike.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Mike Petriello, MLB.com StatCast. And if you're looking for some great information, Mike's your guy. He's all over it. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike_Petriello. It's Petriello. And he's got some funny stuff up there. Cutdown day in the NFL. It's coming up at 4 o'clock. Coming up at 3 o'clock here, the guys will have Urban Meyer on the show. Mm. So get ready for Urban at 3. Cuts at 4, wide receiver moves for the Browns. What would you do? Are there other guys out there? Do you think that's a locked-in position right now? Would appear to be, unless they want to bring in somebody else. It's next on Baskin and Phelps.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.